Joining me today on CFBS Radio is Angela Moronci, a member of the Centre de Justice de Proximité Côte Nord, CJPCN, an organization that offers free legal information to the residents of the North Shore Territory. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
So, can you tell us what today's topic is going to be?
Today, we are talking more specifically about our youth, where they fit in within the law and how the law affects them.
Great. So maybe we could start by talking about at what age can children choose where they can live?
So if you recall from the last discussion we had on parental authority, it is the parents who together decide where the children will live. And if they cannot agree on this, they can seek the help of a mediator or a judge. If help is sought, consideration is given to the maturity of the child. The judge considers the child's opinion when deciding how much time the child will spend with each parent by weighing the child's age and maturity. The more mature the child, the more their opinion may be taken into account in the judge's analysis. However, the judge's obligation is to act in the best interest of the child. So the judge may actually go against the desire of a 17-year-old, for example, who wants to live with his mom if the judge considers that it's not really in his best interest.
And at what age can children work in the province?
There's actually no minimum age to start working in Quebec. However, I have to add that there are caveats. So except for babysitting, children who wish to work before the age of 14 need to have written permission from their parents. So from the age of 14, however, a child can work without this requirement for parental permission. Although the Act respecting labor standards does provide a very strict framework for child labor. So in fact, employers cannot ask a child to do work that exceeds his capacity or that risk compromising his education or damaging his health or his physical or moral development. And again, I'll add that there are caveats. So, for example, in Quebec, children have to go to school until at least 16 years old. So until the end of the school year, say, for example, the child turns 16, your employer must make sure that comes before work when scheduling work shifts. For example, your employer can't ask you to skip school to come in for work. Additionally, the employer also has to consider where you live to make sure you're home by 11 and that you don't have to leave home before 6 a.m. for morning shifts. It also might be interesting to know that except in specific circumstances, the money that's earned by a minor in the course of her work is actually managed by her alone, meaning that she doesn't have to pass it over to her parents, nor does she have to abide by her parents' wishes to maybe invest it, for example. But again, with the caveat, if we're in a situation of inheritance, for example, there are different rules that may apply. So it's taking more into consideration parents in these instances. So I'll give an example. If the child inherits a large portion of money and the end results in her patrimony being over $25,000, the parents have to inform what's called the tutorship council, and they have to declare this amount to the public curator.
And when are children legally responsible?
First, the law states that a person endowed with reason is civilly responsible for the injury he causes. So to be held responsible for their actions, minors must be able to reason and to tell the difference between right and wrong. So parents with parental authority over a child can be held responsible for damage caused by the child. Damage is actually the harm a person suffers because of another person's fault. So the harm might be physical, psychological, or material. That's like damage to property. Why exactly are parents held responsible? That's because they have a duty to educate and supervise their minor children. So if their child causes harm to another person, the law says that the parents have not met this duty. The harm would not have occurred if the child had been properly supervised and educated. Parents can be held responsible even if the child no longer lives with them. Like, for example, the child is off to school in another city. also a parent who doesn't have custody of the child, so for example, in a situation of separation, can also be held responsible for the child's actions. Therefore, parents who are separated continue to be responsible for their children while they have parental authority. In some cases, parents will not be held responsible for the damage caused by their children. In these instances, they must convince the judge that they carried out their duty to educate and supervise their children properly. A judge will actually then evaluate a variety of factors concerning the parent's custody, supervision, and education to determine fault. For example, simply warning a child isn't considered to be enough. So judges put a lot of emphasis on parents' ability to protect their children's actions. Some judges find that parents who ignore their child's bad behavior are responsible. They think these parents should have made an extra effort to warn their children and take precautions. But again, this is all to say that the judge makes a case-by-case analysis of the child's ability to discern, his ability to understand that the act was wrong. The jurisprudence actually establishes the age of reason to be around 7. So depending on the analyst, the child could be determined to be at fault.